Good morning, everyone, on this beautiful morning. It's lovely to welcome you all here today, and a very special welcome to Peter and Wendy Montague, who are joining us this morning for the service, and Peter will be speaking to us. There's a verse that's been going through my mind over the last couple of days, and I just wanted to share it. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. And I just want us to really praise the Lord in this service and really realize that his love never fails. And I'd like to welcome Peter to come and take the service.
Thank you for your welcome, Pauline. Thank you for sharing that lovely verse. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. This morning is a new morning. That means you're going to experience a new mercy, experience of God's love. As we come to worship together, welcome in the name of Jesus. It's great to worship together in God's presence this morning. We've come to focus on him, to give him glory and honour. When we know the Lord in our lives, everything else is of secondary importance. The psalmist declares, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Therefore, we will not fear. Do you feel this morning that the waters around you are foaming, and all is not as it should be? Look to God, the Holy One, the Creator of the world, who is ever present and who through his Son Jesus welcomes you into his holy presence this morning. So we pray. Thank you, Father, that we are welcome into your holy presence through Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Thank you that you are our refuge and strength. And Lord, today we give you the glory for who you are, sovereign Lord of all. May our worship bring honour and blessing to you. And all God's people said, Amen. So we'll worship him in song together as we sing our first hymn, Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. Jesus, who has set us free from the chains of sin that bind us and has shown us our Heavenly Father's unending love and amazing grace. You see, Jesus gave his life on a cross to bring us forgiven into the holy presence of God. And one day, because of Jesus, we are going to rest in his presence for eternity. We struggled to see much of the sun this summer, although it's a stunning morning this morning, isn't it? Heavy rain has been the norm. But Jesus, the light of God's love, is shining his grace into our lives and this world. So we're going to declare some of these truths together in prayer, and the words will appear on the screen. I'll read the words in plain print, and if you could respond with the words in bold. And together we're going to thank God for his wonderful love to us. So, all powerful God, you have created all things. The vast reaches of space and the intricacies of life are the work of your hands, and we give you praise. Loving God, you have redeemed us in Jesus Christ. In his death on the cross, you have dealt with our sin and shown us that nothing can separate us from your love. Death cannot have. We give you thanks. Amen. So let's continue in the prayer that Jesus has given to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next song is based on the well-known Psalm 23, which begins, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want." Jesus described himself as the good shepherd in John chapter 10, laying his life down for the sheep. That is us. And then in Luke 15, Jesus also told the story of the lost sheep who were sought out by the shepherd. There was much rejoicing, in the same way there is much rejoicing in heaven when we turn back to God. We saw a modern illustration of this just over 18 months ago. You may, towards the end of 2022, have heard in the news the story of Britain's loneliest sheep. In Scotland, a sheep had become separated from the flock and marooned on a difficult-to-access coastal beach at the bottom of a cliff. And it was first spotted there in 2021 and then again in the autumn of the following year. And so in November 2022, five men with a winch on a 4x4, at the risk of their own lives, descended the cliff and brought the sheep back to safety, to much public acclaim and rejoicing. This sheep became quite a celebrity in the news at the time. And in our lives, God has rescued us from a life without him, and through Jesus has brought us safely back into his kingdom and presence. He has redeemed us and leads us day by day. And that's why we can declare together in the words of this song, and I will trust in you. I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, and goodness will lead me home. So let's declare these wonderful truths together. The Lord's my shepherd. It was lovely declaring those truths together, wasn't it? It's good to know that wherever we're going in life, wherever we're walking, whatever we're doing, the Lord is with us and he leads us and he guides us. Going to hear now a story where the Lord blessed those around us. Our reading is from John chapter 2, and Brian is going to come and read for us. Thank you, Brian.
If you wish to follow it in the Pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 1064. 1064, it's in John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. So that's on page 1064. Jesus changes water into wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till last now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Thank you, Brian. As we come and share around God's word together, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is so precious, that speaks to us from your heart, that speaks into our lives today. It is still so relevant and so full of truth. Lord, would you give us ears to hear this morning and hearts to obey? And as we heard at the end of that reading, may we believe and know the truth of your love afresh this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. At customs in Glasgow Airport, an elderly man was asked if he had anything to declare. No, nothing at all, he said. "What is in that big bottle?" asked the customs officer. "It's a bottle of holy water from Lourdes," he said. "Will you just take the top off so I can take a sniff?" said the customs officer. Somewhat unwillingly, the man did so. "But this is whiskey," said the officer. "Hallelujah," cried the man. "It's a miracle." Someone trying to claim a miracle. Excuse me. Someone trying to claim a miracle for his own benefit. But in the scriptures before us this morning, we see Jesus initiating a miracle for the benefit of others. This wondrous event in the second chapter of John is the first of 7 miraculous occasions in the opening 12 chapters of his gospel. They are commonly referred to as the Book of Signs. We are hoping that there may be another miracle today in the football this evening, and England might win the Euros. It would be fantastic if they could, but at this stage we're a little unsure. But in the Gospels, we see Jesus moving in the power of God, bringing in his kingdom a certain, steadfast hope. And through the Book of Signs, John writes, showing that Jesus is conveying to those in Judaism the nature of his identity and mission. Using festivals and institutions of the Jewish faith as a background, John interprets these miracles to give a clearer insight of who Jesus is. Questions have always surrounded this story. Is it legitimizing Christian use of wine? Why does Mary feel responsible for the lack of wine? Why does Jesus treat her apparently so abruptly? We don't have time to go into all of these, and they are perhaps secondary to the message John was trying to impart of Jesus' life and ministry. These miracles in the book of signs indicate a new way of God's undeserved love being poured out on his people. And as we look at this particular miracle, it teaches us how we can experience the outpouring of grace and blessing. Wendy and I love waterfalls, and we should have a picture of a waterfall to look at. The best time to see waterfalls, unfortunately, or fortunately, is when it rains, isn't it? And when they're flowing and when they look spectacular. We saw some stunning ones last year on holiday in the lakes, and it did rain a lot. Excuse me. We love the views, the sound, the exhilaration of waterfalls. One of our favourites is at Jastrafelt, which is this one here. In the Brecon Beacons, some of you may know it, there's a number of rivers that come together, and there's a particular number of falls in the same area. This one, you can walk behind it. The footpath actually goes behind it. It's both exhilarating and very scary at the same time. And we got very wet as well. We got soaked walking behind it as it cascaded down. But you know, we worship a God who just blesses us with poured out undeserved love day by day. We have so much to worship, to be thankful for. Day by day, we are soaked in the Lord's grace. And the passage we're looking at this morning speaks to us of God's grace. So we should have the first slide. Grace comes through Jesus. In this culture, weddings were the centre of village life and were the event of the year. I think there's been in the news the story of an Indian wedding where apparently the celebrations have been going on for several months. Jewish weddings provided strong imagery and a model for what celebrating heaven or the coming of the Messiah might be like. John, in recording this sign, is making a statement to all in Judaism that the Messiah has arrived and the feast is beginning. Wedding celebrations were major events that often lasted up to a week. I can only imagine the condition of some as the wine flowed. Attended by the whole town, one can visualise the hullabaloo if the wine had run out at the festivities. In fact, there were legal ramifications when customs of a wedding were not followed, as it brought shame on the happy couple. Hence, the host was in a crisis, as running out of wine was grounds for a lawsuit. Now, there is a society that some would say has got its priorities right. We don't know why Mary took an interest in encouraging Jesus to meet the need in this situation. Perhaps a personal connection with the family of the wedding. But she knew her son and she trusted him to do the right thing. A few years ago, we needed to trust our children to do the right thing. We were on holiday in the north of England, and a medical emergency with my late mother occurred back in High Wycombe. We telephoned two of our sons, and because we know what they are like, we could trust them to do the right thing and bring help in a needy situation. And Mary is Jesus' mother, who in Luke chapter 2 treasured everything said about Jesus in her heart. She knew he was a man of grace and love, who would bring God's blessing to a family facing disgrace. May we treasure in our hearts this morning who Jesus is and encourage others to trust in what he says. Six stone jars stood nearby, and Jesus asked the servants to fill them, which they did to the brim. These stone jars held the water for Jewish ceremonial purification washing. They were ritually pure. And the miracle is therefore a sign that Judaism's vessels of purification are being substituted with a new way of coming into relationship with God. The old ways of cleansing and purification from sins are exhausted and obsolete, and Jesus is replacing them. In the Old Testament, the metaphor of wine is a sign of the age of fulfillment of a new Messiah and kingdom. Sorry. To quote Amos chapter 9, "The days are coming, declares the Lord. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. And I will bring my people Israel back from exile." Jesus is indicating through this sign that the long-awaited kingdom of God has arrived through him. The promise of blessing is about to be fulfilled. And for us today, it is only through a relationship with Jesus that God's blessing can be experienced in our lives. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus declares, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Will you ask Jesus today to do a new work in your life? And then we see that grace is experienced through obedience to Jesus. I have a picture of a cat here. This is our three-year-old cat called Frodo. I didn't realise until we read an article soon after we got him that cats, like dogs, can be trained in obedience and respond to click training. It involves a clicker and lots of treats. So we worked on it, with most of the effort being put in by our youngest son. And quite quickly, in response to treats, we got our cat to respond to a command to come, sit, and give his paw for a treat. We've tried to work on other things, but it depends on his mood. If he's distracted, obedience can be quite a difficult thing. He loses focus very easily. And incidentally, so far for my family, the click training hasn't been quite as successful with me. If we could have the next slide. Grace is experienced through obedience. In this story, there is no distraction or deviation. The servants are totally obedient to the words of Jesus, and this involved some physical work. They had no garden hose. They would have transported the water from nearby wells in buckets. Total of approximately 180 gallons, or 800 litres, if each vessel contained 30 gallons. That's getting on for 4 steel drums full. That's a lot of wine. I've had to bucket water and pulp into drums many times in my career in the paper industry through pilot plant work and trials in paper mills. And it's laborious work, 10 litre buckets at a time. And if I was one of those servants, by the time I got to the 5th or 6th jar, I would probably have been skimping on the volume going in, saying each time, that's good enough, that'll do. Yet each jar was dutifully filled to the brim. The servants did what Jesus told them to do. And for us, as we follow the Lord's commands in our lives, what is our response when he calls us to act? Do we do something and say, that's good enough, that will do, I'm going no further? Or do we respond to the Lord with all our heart, soul and mind, giving to the brim? Note, Jesus changed the quality of the water and not the volume. If the servants had not done their job and skimped on filling the vessels, the miracle would not have provided so much blessing. God uses what we bring to him in his service. Does he have our all? Or do we keep some of our time, ability and gifts in reserve because we think that's good enough? The servants brought to him what needed to be changed. And the marvellous truth is that as we come to him, Jesus transforms what we offer, our thoughts, our actions and our lives, and he equips us and gives us a place in his kingdom from which we can bless others and show them what God is like. Will you allow Jesus to transform your life as you walk in relationship and obedience with him day by day? And then we see God's grace is experienced in everyday life. The miracle shows us that Jesus wants to be involved in the normal, everyday situations of our lives. Nothing is too big or too small and insignificant for him. A God who can change the chemical composition of water into that of wine is able to transform the everyday moments of our lives if we are willing to let him do so. The important thing is that, like the servants in the story, we obey. When a relationship with Jesus is foremost in our lives, then we are in a place where God wants us to be, and we will enjoy the fruits of being close to him. Life won't necessarily be easy, but you will be in the right place and the best place. Today, will you put Jesus first in your life? We regularly look after our granddaughter, who is 2. She's a bundle of fun and of energy. But if she's feeling a little out of sorts, her safe place is in the arms of our son and daughter-in-law. And as she is lifted up, she throws her arms around them in an embrace of complete dependence and trust. She looks longingly at her parents. Do we look longingly into our Heavenly Father's eyes and trust him for all that we need? We can be secure in his presence in the midst of all our needs. The servants fully trusted in what Jesus was doing, even though they could have been severely embarrassed by the lack of an end result. They didn't know the outcome of what Jesus wanted them to do, but they followed his words in faith. And as they drew water, through their obedience, a miracle occurred. And as a result of what they did in everyday life, others came to faith. Nothing you do is ever of insignificance in the kingdom of God. We all have a part to play, however big or small. God doesn't always call you to a task where you know the end result, but he calls you to step forward in faith. A listening ear, a kind word at the bus stop, an encouraging telephone call, a shared promise of Scripture, thoughtful conversation over a cup of coffee, small, simple acts of kindness that bring God's blessing into the lives of others. Henry Nguyen, a Dutch priest and professor, has said, "Did I offer peace today? Did I bring a smile to someone's face? Did I say words of healing? Did I let go of my anger and resentment? Did I forgive? Did I love? These are the real questions. I must trust that the little bit of love that I sow now will bear many fruits, here in this world and the life to come." Jesus blessed others with his Father's undeserved love in everyday life, and he calls you to do the same. So we see that through this wondrous act of kindness, God's blessing comes through Jesus. And we need to respond in obedience to those words in everyday life. Note in verse 2 that the overflow of grace took place because Jesus was invited to the wedding. Revelation 3 verse 20 says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." If you've never come to that place of trust in Jesus, will you today invite him into your life and know a new beginning in his presence? May you be able to declare today, "Lord Jesus, not my will, but yours." Let's remind ourselves of Mary's words to the servant in verse 5. "Do whatever he tells you." We could have no finer testimony to guide our lives. Will you put yourself in a place to hear what Jesus is saying? Act on what he says, and then serve with all your heart, strength, and mind in the relationship that God has given you, bringing his blessings into the lives of others. And as we allow Jesus to transform our lives through obedience day by day, our hope will become eternal reality as one day we dwell in his presence at the ultimate wedding feast. There's some wonderful words in the first five verses of Revelation chapter 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" May you know that newness this morning, the new wine of the kingdom, as you trust in Jesus as Lord. Let's pray. So let's be still for a moment, and in the quietness of our hearts, just reflect of these words of hope and grace that Jesus gives to us this morning. Father God, you are the one who leads us. from darkness into light, from captivity into freedom, from anxiety into peace, from despair into joy. Yet we long to break free, choosing independence, convinced of our own wisdom, forgetting your love and grace. Forgive us. Draw close to us. Embrace us once again in your loving arms and enable us to follow you in worship and grateful service each day of our lives. Amen. Our next hymn calls us in all that we face to look to Jesus, our great High Priest, who brings us into the presence of God. And as we trust in Jesus, we have a new life which is hidden in him, the King of glory and of grace. Before the throne of God above, let's stand and give him the glory. We come now to the Lord in prayer for others, that they might too know the blessings of God in their lives. And as we've just sung about the Lord interceding for us, so we have the responsibility for standing in the gap and bringing needs and situations into the presence of God. So let's pray. Gracious God, rejoicing in your blessings, trusting in your loving care for all, we bring you our prayers for the world. We pray for the created world, for those who rebuild where things have been destroyed, for those who fight hunger, poverty, and disease, for those who have power to bring change for the better and to renew hope. Raise up those, Lord, who can bring peace and an end to conflict and war that is happening in so many parts of the world at the moment. We pray for our country, for those in leadership who frame our laws and shape our common life, who keep the peace and administer justice. We pray for our new government that they might be wise in all that they do. May they always consider those they represent, make decisions with courage and integrity, and resist the temptation to abuse the trust placed in them. We pray for all those in Parliament who know you and love you, that in all their relationships they may reflect the light of your love. We pray for people in need, those for whom life is a bitter struggle, those whose lives are clouded by death or loss, by pain or disability, by discouragement or fear, by shame or rejection. We pray for those in the circle of friendship and love around us, children and parents, sisters and brothers, friends and neighbours, and for those especially in our thoughts today. So let's be still for a moment in the quietness of our hearts. Bring to the Lord all those who are particularly on our hearts and minds at this time. Heavenly Father, in the lives of those we love, may your kingdom come and your will be done. We pray for the church in its stand with the poor, in its love for the outcast and the ashamed, in its service to the sick and the neglected, in its proclamation of the gospel in this land. We pray for the community of your people here in Hazelmere. Strengthen its life and its witness. May this fellowship be a beacon of hope and your love in all of its ministries. Eternal God, hear these our prayers, the spoken and the silent, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all praise and glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn once again draws us into the wonder of all that Jesus has done for us. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Saviour lives. So let's rejoice as we worship and declare these truths together. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus.
Yeah.
don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And therefore, we need not be in fear, because the Lord, the rest of today, tomorrow, this week, this year, the Lord is walking with us. So as we close, you may want to hold out your hands to symbolically receive a blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you. And all of God's people said, Amen.